Hello and welcome to another episode of Gifted Kid, Messy Adult, the show where potential went to die. I am your host, Ellie Michaels.
And I am your host, Jessica Michaels.
And today we're talking to Carol Jean Whittington, founder and president, CEO, runner, czar, empress of Whittington Wellbeing. Welcome to the show, Carol Jean.
Oh man, I love the empress czar part. That's a good one. It's a new one. I'll take that one, Ellie.
It's your company. You get to make up the titles. That is one of the few benefits of having a small business in the U.S. is you get to pick your title. So,
I love it. I mean, I was like really loving Chief Energy Officer, but I think I'm going to be like Chief Empress Officer now.
So, Carol Jean, if you could just start off by giving us a little bit of an introduction. We know you very well, but our audience does not. So, what are the key points you would like everyone to know?
I'm a hot mess and a cute handbag. I mean, this show could not be more perfect for me, right? Late identified autistic ADHDer. Didn't find out till I was almost 40 after discovering, you know, into that journey about 2 or 3 years that, oh my gosh, I'd been experiencing burnout for most of my life. And my first burnout started at the age of 6. And when you look at sort of like that through the lens of like gifted kid, messy adult, oh, well, hello. I think we have just encapsulated all of those elements. Like, oh, you have an IQ of 138, you're hyperverbal, you know, all of these things. So we expect all of these great things from you. And then it's, you know, like Jessica, you have said, you know, you're so smart, but you're just not quite cutting it when you get into feedback reviews and stuff like that. So my whole life, I had felt like I was failing. Like I was, when I got to adulthood, I wasn't adulting properly. I was broken or defective in some way, that everybody else seemed to do this so easily and life was so hard for me. So I am now in year 4 of living burnout, shutdown, and meltdown free for the first time since I was 6. Hey. And got off the chronic cycle burnout loop finally. And it has been a hella adventure to this place.
Well, good. Thank you so much for that that synopsis. And I'm sure young Jessica and young Carol Jean would have set records with the amount we were able to gab at each other, being two hyperverbal little elementary school students. And we probably would have gotten along great with all of the adults, not with the other kids, but, you know.
Adults loved us.
Adults the kids loved us.
Not so much.
You mentioned that you were supposed to do all these, you know, big things or great things. Is there a memory that you have of what some of those big titles were going to be? What were you supposed to be?
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to be a doctor.
Ah, yes. Oh. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then burnout.
Yeah. Yeah.
So multiple burnouts.
Well, because we keep saying burnout, and that's a term that we've become very familiar with recently. But for those who are not as familiar with what burnout may feel like or look like in this context, could you talk a little bit about what burnout is?
Yeah. So just the simple definition is, for me, and how I explain this when I speak to groups, people to go, well, what the heck is burnout, right? Like, we get the idea, but like, what is it really? And it's chronic and consistent unmet needs. And that means, you know, we have 30 basic human needs, and then we have 8 different areas of our sensory profile, that those things are needs that we have. And when all of those elements are out of whack and none of them are getting nourished consistently, then we are depleted. Things, energy's flowing out, but no energy is flowing in. And when energy is chronically and consistently flowing out with very little coming in, we are going to operate in an energy deficit, resulting in burnout. And that shows up in our bodies. Internally, we can experience brain fog,
Burnout directly impacts our sleep quality. So it might be that you have a hard time sleeping, or you have sleep disruptions, you know, or you have where you sleep 12 or 14 hours solid, but you wake up and you're still exhausted. So, you know, burnout impacts all of those things. It impacts your physiology, your physical health. You know, so a lot of people have migraines and headaches and joint pain. Like they have like this chronic achy feeling all over their body. You know, these are just some of them. Focus, a really difficult time focusing. And, you know, for those of us who are ADHD, you know, and autistic, we've got like hyper-focus moments, and then we have like our squirrel moments. And, you know, we're like, well, what's burnout? What's my norm? So there's those little things to unpack. But, you know, there's these big areas of impact, emotional dysregulation. That's one that, you know, to what degree are we experiencing emotional dysregulation? You know, burnout impacts that versus, you know, hey, what's our norm when we don't feel safe in the world and we're in survival mode all the time because nobody gets us?
Let's create this very hypothetical, totally pretend 43-year-old woman who has chronic sleep problems, who has chronic pain, including chronic joint pain, who's constantly exhausted, no matter how much they sleep.
Stop describing me. This isn't hypothetical.
So what could you recommend for someone? Because in my work as a coach, and I know you coach as well, we often meet people, definitely like myself, who have had these signs or symptoms for so long that has sort of become the norm, or you just assume that that is the norm and not the burnout state. What do you suggest someone even start with when things are that bad?
Well, first of all, I've been that bad at around that same age. Where I was at that ghost pepper level 5, the hottest pepper level in my scale. When you're so hot, you're not, and your body is shutting down in a lot of ways. And the very best place to start is exactly where I send everyone who comes into my world. And that is, go take the spicy pepper level burnout quiz. Find out what your spicy pepper level is. And then I have an event coming up this week, but I do these pretty regularly every quarter. We do a degree of heat. And this is in my book, Unleashing Sustainable Energy, as well. So within each pepper level, there is a scale of 1 to 10. So you have a degree of heat within that pepper level. And it goes down, it comes down to looking at those 8 core areas that contribute to burnout. So I'm also a burnout researcher. So over the last 3 years, I have investigated and done surveys and collected data into burnout and how people of different neurotypes experience it. Also people with different physical disabilities, as well as co-occurring health conditions, because all of those factors show up differently than the quote unquote ICD-11, here's your norm burnout, you know, it happened at work. And we can all just be honest here. That's a load of hooey. Burnout does not just happen at work and we don't leave it at the door. No. It is a 24/7 thing. So the best place to start is to take the quiz, because you cannot begin to know where you're going and set that GPS destination in that map until you know where you are. So when you take the quiz, you figure out which pepper level you are. You know, in my book, I take you through the whole process of the unveiling method, and it's, what's your degree of heat? Because if you're a spicy pepper level 3, a cayenne pepper. Now, level 3s and level 4s, over 70% of people who take the quiz, and we've had over 1,000 in the last few months, fall into a level 3 and a level 4. So let's say, and part of the chronic cycle burnout loop is that most of us circle 3 pepper levels. So when you were talking about sort of that normalizing of burnout, like, oh, I've been here for so long, this is just my norm, right? What happens is we have this level 3, 4, and 5, which is the most common chronic burnout cycle loop that many of us do. And that also brings in something that you brought up. It's like, well, how do I know where I am? And how do I know if I'm in burnout still? Because this has become my norm. And it's what I call the restoration illusion trap. So let's say you've been hanging out at a 3 or a 4 for a long time. So that's your new set point. That's your norm. Because you don't even at this point remember what it felt like to feel good. This is just how it is. But things change in your life. Then stress comes in and you move into either a deeper degree of heat within that pepper level. So let's say maybe you were at a 4 or 5. So you were closer to a 3. And let's say you're in that habanero pepper 4, but all of a sudden you're moving up to like an 8 or a 10. So you're closer to moving into that ghost pepper level 5. When you don't have any gauge for yourself, then you have no idea if you're moving deeper or you're moving out. And what happens is when we slip into that 5, when stress gets there, and the only thing that we have that we think internally is this sucks and I just want to feel better. So then some things change, you know, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, and the stress decreases and we move back down into maybe that lower 4 or maybe even into an upper 3. And we're like, okay, I'm not in burnout anymore. This feels better. I'm more back to my norm.
It sounds very, very similar to the things that we deal with chronic health challenges, where you feel just good enough to function. And so you try to get back on the treadmill and try to go back at full speed. And then you hit a wall and then you recover just to the point where you can start doing stuff again, but not to where you're actually recovered. So as soon as I'm capable of getting back to work, I got to get back to work. And then the cycle continues again, because you never get a chance to reset all the way back down to like healthy or like actually okay, because we're so used to being just okay enough to live.
And we live under these internal expectations. So here's like social expectations. Here's our internal expectation. And it's like, okay, for protective mechanisms, for survival mechanisms, for me to feel internally and emotionally safe, I have to be up here. So when I feel better and I've got a little energy, I got to push and get it all done because I may not get this back in a little bit. And so it's that internal expectation. It's that pushing. I call it the push through it crowd versus the alignment crowd.
It's also,
Jessica, I see you hiding.
I love the concept of the spicy pepper scale, because just like the concept of burnout itself, it sounds kind of cute and like kind of inconsequential. And then you get into it and you're like, oh, wait, ghost peppers would like kill me. Like that much burnout will destroy my life. And, you know, has a couple times where just you just stop and you can't, no matter how hard you push, nothing moves forward. And then it's like, well, why can't I do any work? I can lay in bed all night watching old stand-up on YouTube, but I can't get up in the morning or even make a cup of coffee, let alone go to work. Surely there's just something wrong with me and I need to try harder.
Yeah, we've managed to turn all of this somehow into a moral failing, mm-hmm, you know, because mm-hmm. that's the first right. place most of us go. Most of us don't say, oh, you know, I can stay up all night playing Animal Crossing, but I can't get to sleep or I can't get up in the morning. That's because I'm lazy. It's because I'm, you know,
not trying hard enough.
I'm not trying hard enough. I'm not meeting my potential is our favorite on this show. You know, all this wasted potential. I could be doing this, 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 and this. And I think what we are not good at recognizing, I know I'm not, is when I shouldn't be doing things, or I think I could do things because my eyes are open and time exists. But beyond that, I'm totally exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually, just exhausted. So then you add on though, this thing that, but I'm also a terrible person because I'm not pushing myself through all of this, or I am, but I'm not accomplishing everything I want to. I'm only accomplishing, you know, 10 things instead of 20 things. And that just feeds into it, because then there's the guilt and the shame and all those things. And it just really feeds into itself.
Yeah. You know, I posted today, because this is something I talk about pretty often, and it comes up, I think, in almost every burnout conversation that I have, regardless of neurotype or co-occurring health conditions or anything. And it is so pervasive in society at large right now, and it goes back to the lies that we tell ourselves that we've agreed to. And one of those is that I'm not enough and I'm not worthy and I have to earn it.
Ow, my soul.
Conversations with Carol Jean. That's what happens. At some point in time, you're going to go, oh, my heart. That was me.
I only say it because I've lived it.
Mm-hmm. And we're really internalizing those voices that we make fun of, but were very loud in our formative years of, you know, you're too smart to be making these kinds of mistakes, or you're not living up to your potential, or you can do X, thus you must be able to do Y. Like, yeah, like you can do tons of stuff in Animal Crossing. You can have all of this stuff about, you know, Star Trek lore memorized. Clearly that means you can have a degree in, you know, the South American history. Like, what? These just logical fallacies that we have drilled into our heads that we don't even notice that we're saying to ourselves later on. Like, you can make a cup of tea. Why can't you go to work for 7 hours? Well, they're not the same. They're really not the same. They require completely different sets of skills and different states of mind and being.
Have you noticed, Carol Jean, that this burnout cycle exists predominantly in neurodivergent individuals, or do you find that neurotypical individuals experience burnout or experience it the same way that neurodivergent people do?
There is a difference in the experience. There are no two burnouts that are the same with any individuals. However, if we look at it or divide it into neurotype experience, it is a very different experience for a quote-unquote neurotypical, I call them neurodominant, versus our neurodistinct population, because it is much more intense. It is much more encompassing in not just physiological or emotional, but also mental. It is the whole gamut. And the degree or the depth to which we experience those burnout warning signs and symptoms are very different in its extremity. When we're talking about like a neurotypical burnout, I mean, we see, you know, by definition in ICD-11, but then just also through research and my conversations with some neurotypical folks, which is always fun and challenging in its own right. Bless their little normie hearts. Sorry, you guys know what I mean. But it's, you know, I don't feel like I'm really fulfilled at work. I feel bored, or I feel disconnected. You know, I go home and I maybe feel a little better, but I'm still kind of I'm just kind of not feeling it, right? Or I'm withdrawing, you know, I might have more headaches. There's some similarities. There's definitely some crossover in a lot of the physiological things that come up. But when we talk about this from the neurodistinct side, it is a very different thing, in the sense that the impact on the physical body is always more extreme and much longer. The emotional dysregulation that comes in is usually also exacerbated by trauma, by complex trauma, by the survival mode that so many of us, because of our experience in the world being autistic or ADHD or dyslexic or some other variety within our neurodistinct population, we have that. That is an energy drain. So we have, for us, we have more constant chronic energy drains in our everyday life in all elements. It's not just going to the grocery store and coming home. It's not just going to work. It's not just in my own home environment. It's not just having conversations with the people that I live with. You know, it's also having to go get the mail and then having to deal with the mail lady. And, you know, all of the stuff that may not be a stressor or an energy drainer to someone else of a different neurotype.
Mm-hmm. That's to me, you know, I always talk about kind of the blessing and the curse of neurodivergence being that so many of the traits or signs or symptoms, if, you know, if you're pathologizing, are things that affect everyone. Everybody knows what it's like to forget a face, or, you know, to not remember where you put your keys. Everybody has had times when they're tired, but the neurodivergent experience is that, yes, but there's a difference between those things happening and those things happening so often and so severely that it completely depletes your ability to live a day. You know, it's the breadth and it's the depth of those experiences. And it's hard because, you know, in a way you want to be able to relate to neurotypical people and say, yes, ADHD is kind of like this, autism is kind of like this, and burnout is kind of like this. But then the way people treat it, it's, oh yeah, that happens to everybody. So everybody's a little ADHD, everybody's a little burnt out. You know, you can do some yoga, have a cup of green tea, and, you know, you'll be right as rain. And so
don't get me started on self-care crap.
Oh, and even though we know better, it's still really hard to not fall into that as somebody who is neurodivergent going, yeah, maybe I must be making too big of a deal of this. You know, everybody experiences this. Why am I so exhausted at any moment? I could fall asleep during the day. You know, why am I? So then again, it's back to, well, I must be bad. If everybody in the world can deal with this easily, but I can't, what's wrong with me?
Have you considered that maybe it's your fault? Have you considered that maybe you just suck?
Right.
Yes. And yes, I have. All thank
goes,
you.
Yeah. And this all goes back to one of the most critical components to burnout restoration and energy mastery, to get off that chronic cycle burnout loop and to disrupt that, to get out of it for good. And that is to know what your nourishment keys are. And I changed the language on this because when we talk about, and just kind of feel this in your body as I say it, guys, you need this. This nourishes you. There's a different feeling. When you need something, it's almost like this pushing away and this chasing feel, like it's outside of me. But when we think about what nourishes me, I nourish, it comes in, it's this softness, it's this lovingness, right? And when we look at the components, there's 30 basic human needs, quote unquote, and they're broken down into different categories. We have physiological, your body, all the stuff like the eating and the exercising and the drinking of the water. And by the way, pause to have a sip of water right now, folks. Everybody get some water. We all need to hydrate.
This is tea. Does that still count?
It still counts.
Partial credit. Don't let anybody tell you it doesn't. It's wet. It works. That's not what I say.
And for most people, when they take my nourishment key assessment, they look at that physiological list. And I can't tell you how many times somebody checks none of the above are being met. None of these things are happening in my life. I don't exercise regularly. I don't have food. I don't have water, you know, all of this stuff. And I will always just sort of go against the grain like I always do because, you know, hey, why would I change now after almost 50 years? Why would I go with the grain on this one? And I'm going to tell you, don't focus on anything in that physiological list because most people's natural instinct is I need to get more sleep. I need to eat healthier more often. I need to drink more water. I need to exercise. And I'm like, yeah, you do. But the only thing on this whole list that I really encourage people to think about or to be intentional with is to hydrate. Drink some water. Keep your little gray cells hydrated and wet. Because what I have found in my research, and as I have pressure tested these with thousands of people over the last 3 years, what it comes down to is those nourishment keys, the place where the majority of our energy is being siphoned out continuously, which also means that by reciprocity, it is the place we're going to bring in the most energy the fastest. So it's important that we identify it. Is emotional safety, number one. Internally, not externally. I feel safe with my own feelings and the way that my physical body feels. Internally responding, that's number one. That's top of the list. That's a thing. That's a need. That's a nourishment key. Number two is belonging. And not just that I belong to other people and I've got my tribe and people get me. I have at least one person who, like, I don't have to over-explain everything. They get it in shorthand. Thank you for being that friend for me, Ellie and Jessica. But it's, I feel like I belong here. I belong here within me. When we don't feel like we belong to ourselves, that is the constant energy drain underneath everything. When we don't feel emotionally safe to feel our feelings that might be really big, and, you know, sometimes they feel like they haven't shown up, we haven't processed them, and it's numbed out, and they're all happening at the same time. But, oh my gosh, I've been told throughout my life that I am being dramatic, or I'm overly excited about something, or tone it down, or don't cry so much. You're wearing your heart on a sleeve. It's not that big a deal. They didn't hurt your feelings that bad. It wouldn't have bothered me. So you don't then trust your own feelings, your physical feelings in your body, or, you know, the mental, emotional words that you've ascribed to those feelings. So those don't feel safe. So that's a constant energy drain. And then the third one, the third highest energy drainer on the list, and these come from love needs, esteem needs, self-actualization needs, right? So the third is authenticity. Now, I was surprised because I thought this was going to be number one. My hypothesis was, oh, authenticity is going to be top of the list because we all want to unmask and we want to be our authentic selves. But it's number three. And it makes sense that if you look at it in order, when we don't have emotional internal safety first and we don't feel like we belong within ourselves, then how do we tap into our authenticity to express it? Right? So authenticity is the third nourishment key where energy flows out and comes in the strongest. And that is, I am internally aligned externally with who I am, both internally and externally. I am living my authentic self.
That's something that's sentiments that we have certainly come across pretty frequently, is especially in late identified autistics or people with ADHD, is I've masked for so long, I genuinely have no idea who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I said I masked to the professional level of camouflaging. I was the cutest chameleon you never saw. And I had no idea who I was.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And all of that also really speaks to the trans experience. Ellie brings up trans in this drink. Where you're masking, but you don't even necessarily know that you're masking for your entire life. And yeah. You don't feel safe because you don't feel like yourself, and you've closed off. And at a biochemical level, you can't feel things. You have a very limited emotional range. And then finally actually being true to yourself, or being true to, you know, the endocrine system that your body works with better. All of that stuff shows up, and all of a sudden, what was the line? Transitioning didn't fix all my problems. It made my problems worth fixing. What's the best way to reset with these massive energy drains? Like, what's the good place to start if you're, you know, mid burnout and still in the middle of these drains?
The first place is to identify what your number one nourishment key is. It might be one of those top three, but it might be another one on the list. And so I do something specifically called an energy body appraisal, because for a lot of us, and this does take a little work, you know, it takes some practice, but it's amazing. Our bodies are the biggest, truest feedback system we have. And this works even through, and I was a complex trauma person, And this was something that through breath work and through meditation and different forms of moving my body, I was able to do this. And so I do it with clients all the time. And we do a body energy appraisal. And I do it in a way that allows you to feel comfortable so that you can begin to feel and experience your body in a safe way to identify. So I've created a tool that through your energy centers of your body, using your body as the feedback mechanism to give you, because your intuition is one of the strongest guides, but it's one of the ones that we've turned off. We don't trust ourselves. We turn that gut instinct, that check and trust of our intuition off. So this is where we start to turn it back on, because that's one of the keys to restoration, is to also begin to trust yourself again. But this is a slow process, but our body is always going to be very true to us. So with those energy centers, they correlate to very specific nourishment keys. So where you feel something in your body, where you might be experiencing, maybe not even recognizing it, but maybe upper shoulder back pain, you know, lower back pain, urinary tract infections, where those might be something that are coming up. Those are going to tell us which part of your body is feeling the most stress. It's going to show up in a physiological way. So there's always more than one way to skin this cat, I say. And that's just such a ooh, because I always think about that, and the visuals stuck. So sorry about that, guys. I know.
Why would you be so mean to cats? They're so nice and
fun. I know. It's just horrible. But with that, when we can identify the part of your body that is experiencing like the physiological signs of an energy depletion, it correlates specifically with nourishment keys. And with those nourishment keys also come the recharging and the restoration markers that go so that you can begin to bring those things in. So for a lot of folks in emotional safety, where this shows up is your throat and your heart. So a lot of throat clearing, a lot of sore throats or dry, hoarse, raspy throat will show up. And a lot of times this also, these all kind of work together. So it's sometimes a picking apart of things. So we pressure test them. In your chest area, it can be like, you feel like your chest flutters, like you have a lot of racing heart. It can feel like sometimes between your shoulder blades or your shoulder and your neck, you get a lot of tension and tightness. So those two areas in particular speak to authenticity, how we express what we really feel and think to other people. It's about, and to ourselves, like we cannot turn anything outward till we've turned it inward first. We got to begin within, right? And so in our heart region, that correlates to belongingness. And a lot of times for me, I had this huge breakthrough recently because, you know, it's kind of like Shrek in the ogre with the onion. It's all the layers as you go, right? And I mean, I'm just sort of the ogre's onion, but you know, as I peel through things and as we go through these different levels of restoration in our journey to energy mastery, I was in this place and I was doing this meditation with a really good teacher. And all of a sudden I went, oh, wow. I thought it was my voice, like my messaging that was blocked, but it really is my heart. I was protecting my heart. I wasn't sharing my truth because I was afraid that I'd be rejected and hurt. And so, I mean, these are the things that we start to pick out because all of that runs on a subconscious autopilot. Our brain does two things. Number one, it's going to keep us alive and safe. And the second thing it's going to do is it's going to automate and make anything that we do consistently that hadn't killed us a habit, whether it's good for us or not, to conserve energy.
Whether it hasn't killed us in everything. The short term, that's an important distinction.
Right, the short term.
Killing us in the long term.
In the short term.
Yes.
Right. Definitely. Because everything that we're talking about is our operating software. And depending on what our operating software is, it's killing our hardware most often if it's not a software that's aligned with us.
So we're all Apple products is what you're telling us.
I mean, yeah. Okay. It's time to upgrade to the 2.0. It's time to upgrade to the 2.0 edition.
We all need an upgrade. We all need an upgrade. Somebody goes stand in line at a store at midnight, cash in hand. So what would you say to someone who says, this is all a little woo-woo for me.
Oh, it is. It is totally woo-woo. I will not lie. It's woo AF. And the problem is we've never talked about it. It's so different, or it is so outside of the conversations that we have ever had in our life. And it's the biggest reason you're in burnout. Because you haven't tapped into your authentic, energetic self.
So you got to do
the And work. You don't have to believe in anything spiritual. You don't have to be religious. But from a science side of things, even on a woo-woo science side of things, we are talking about our internal being and how we process the world. And for a lot of us, we have onboarded all this software that we are operating, these rules of how it's supposed to be. And we have not once truly, we will think, because I can tell you a million times I have gone, this is the dumbest freaking thing I have ever heard. Why the hell are we doing this? I do not want to get dressed and go to this dumb party. Why am I doing this? Why do I have to go talk small talk to this idiot? He is so stupid. He just frustrates the crap out of me. It just makes me want to slap him on the forehead. Why am I having to do this and be nice to him? He's stupid, right? I mean, these are the things, right? We question things, but we've never questioned things. But we don't ask ourselves, what do I want? What do I like? What is my perfect day? What do I care about?
In defense of the woo-woo, my mind immediately jumps to The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk or whatever. Specifically, a story about him treating like a therapist or a psychologist or a doctor, somebody who thought that they knew what was up. And he runs them through like a kind of child regression confrontation thing where you imagine yourself talking to the little version of you. And his patient was like, this is ridiculous. That this isn't real science. This is stories. And he goes, do it anyway. This is actually what the science says. And it works. It works really well, because as much as there is science, we are also humans. And if you've read your Pratchett or your Campbell, you know that humans run on stories. And so you have to tell yourself this story of what's happening and what has happened and what's going to happen. And it clicks in to that little part of your brain that goes, oh, I get it. So like, even if you're completely skeptical or dismissive of woo-woo stuff, you can't deny that it works. And sometimes you got to put aside your strict materialist logical self and have a little woo, because it'll make you better.
I am the most science-based human in the world, but I have found there are things that science does not always answer that factor in and are variables in our well-being. And I think we all start somewhere. I mean, if we really want to just start with where do I start on a reset? How do I actually bring some energy in? Number one, I'm going to say you got to do it in 5 minutes or less. So I do micro recharge lab. And I say, okay, you're in a ghost pepper level 5. You got a degree of heat. That's a 10 out of 10. You're still working full time. This happens a lot with our autistic folks, by the way, and our autistic ADHDers. We are the push through it's that are just, I will do it till I come home and crash, and I will start over again tomorrow until my hardware just fails. And then I'll call in sick for a couple days till I can get myself back there, and I'll drag myself in, you know, with one leg behind me and, you know, beating myself over the head with my other arm, but I'll get there. Don't worry. You can rely on me. I'm reliable. Y'all know I'll show up in a hurricane, right?
I see you, Jessica. I'm only speaking my truth. If it aligns with you, well, that might just be yours too.
But we got to look at things from a small bite-sized standpoint. And the problem is, for most of us, we look at burnout and getting out of burnout in like these big sweeping things, like really, you know, I got to do this big self-care stuff and I got to like clear my calendar and start with all this big stuff. Like it's like you have to like burn it all down and start over approach. And I'm going to tell you, please don't do that. Don't do that. Don't waste your energy, the finite energy that you have right now. Let's do it in a really short, manageable way. Let's do it where it's fun, light, and playful, right? We have had nothing in that category. No fun, no light, no playful. It has all been stressful, heavy, and hard. So in 5 minutes or less in micro recharge lab, we say, okay, What do you need right now? What kind of energy do you need? First, we got to just start identifying and thinking about energy in more than just go and stop, right? Most of us operate like cigarette boats. It is wide the hell open. We are riding. And then it's like, stop, dead still. And then there's like full throttle reverse. And there's no in between. There's no nuance, right? So in this, we're like, okay, do you need to calm anxious energy, right? Are you like an 8 or a 10 and you're like way the heck up here and your mind is running at 900 miles an hour and there's 200 hamster wheels and all the flames flying off the back and the smoke. I'm up here and I just need to calm down. Is it that I need to be able to be creative and create? You know, that's a space that we got to have a whole different type of energy for. Do I need a boost of energy? Am I feeling like, okay, the sixth cup of coffee is just not hitting and it's not working? I got to have something other than some caffeine juice. There are ways to do this. And I am a certified meditation and breathwork teacher. And some of the things that we do involve breathwork because that is one of the most direct ways to disrupt and regulate your nervous system, which is one of the biggest places that energy is moved up or down that scale. And when we learn how to use our breath as a tool, because it's always with us, it is automatic and regulated. We can manually operate it. You know, for those of you who notice you hold your breath a lot during the day or you're a shallow breather when you're concentrating, this is for you. So, you know, breath work is one of the ways that we can do that. The other way is to also be able to get into a place of flow. Like for most of us who are autistic and Asian, we can get in a flow state pretty easily. Like that is like one of our strengths, right? But how sometimes we get in that inertia of like a body at rest stays at rest, body in motion stays in motion, like that in-between place sometimes is kind of hard. So I do some creative exercises and you can do this at home. Zentangle is a great tool. Grab a piece of a post-it note or a scrap piece of paper or a pen. It does not matter. Draw an X in the middle of it and just start filling in. Turn on some music. Music is a wonderful way for resonance and frequency to change. They've even done science research that shows how the rhythm of music changes your heart rate. All of this has an impact on your nervous system and your body. So as you can think about ways that you can bring some of these little short things in, 5 minutes or less, that's all we're talking about. 5 minutes or less. And when you can do these, it's easy, it's light, it's fun. So then it's like, oh, I got 5 minutes. Oh, I got 5 minutes again. And this becomes part of how you shift your energy. And it's fun.
I immediately think of the example was probably like a big CEO and the Dalai Lama, but it was probably just some guru and some overworked person. It was like, how much time do I need to put into, you know, develop a meditation practice? And he goes, oh, just 10 minutes a day. He goes, I don't have 10 minutes a day. I'm too busy. He goes, okay, then you need to make 10 minutes a day. Because if you don't have 10 minutes to do something, you're way too jam-packed. And you need to bring it down a little bit because you can't run at that red line for that long.
That's where we go back to that push through versus alignment. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about, that's one of the biggest things we hear all the time. I don't have time. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy, right? I don't have the bandwidth. And really, we have whatever we choose. Mm-hmm. Our life is where our attention goes.
We make time for what's important. That just is all there is to it. So
what we value.
We do what we value. How can people get a hold of your book, participate in your workshop, or talk to you?
Head on over to whittingtonwellbeing.com. The quiz will pop up and it'll say, you know, how spicy is your burnout? Hop in, take the quiz, get your pepper level and get started on the journey. From there, you become part of our mailing list and we will take you through all of the options that you have to come in and self-pace some stuff for yourself, to do a micro recharge lab and just try out what does 5 minutes of changing my energy feel like for me and how can I do it, all the way up to one-on-one coaching, which is part of my Unveiling Method program. And I have a new group program that is starting and it will roll out at the end of April. And it is an 8-week program for the very first time that I will be doing. And it will take people through the foundations of the Unveiling Method to really lock in and build those nourishment keys and lock in those sensory profile blueprint layers that maybe you've never combined before with healthy boundaries.
Nice. Excellent. I've got that tab open all ready to go. So, sorry. Podcast, we're doing a thing. Jess, where could people find you if they want to learn more about your neurodivergent coaching?
Absolutely. They can go to coachjessicamichaels.com. And you can reach out to me. You can schedule a complimentary coaching consultation. And you can find information on the Neurodiverse Professionals Community, which will be starting April 18th. A great place for people of all neurotypes to get together, to network, to share, and to help themselves develop. And Carol Jean, I would love to have you, we should talk offline and have you come in to our group to talk, because I have a feeling we are not the only people who would be very interested in hearing this message. But all the information about all of our happenings at coachjessicamichaels.com. How about you, Ellie?
Awesome. Well, if they're looking to find me for some customized commercial video production, you can find me at elliemichaelsproductions.com. And if you like our show and would like to support us, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe and smash the bell icon on YouTube at Gifted Kid Messy Adult. You can find us on Patreon at Coach Jessica Michaels, and if you'd like to support us and get lots of free resources for our neurodiversity and support our work in the neurodiversity community and the community at large, advocating for acceptance and awareness, we'd really appreciate that. Well, I think that'll about wrap it up for this episode of Gifted Kid, Messy Adult. Thanks for coming in, and we'll see you next time. Take care of each other out there.